إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned with great pride. If you read this ayat of the Quran, you can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this fact about the mu'mineen with such pride in who the mu'mineen are. And this ayat, and Allah says mu'mineen in the Quran, it means only one group of people, and that is the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us by inference also in that group when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says mu'mineen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the quality of these mu'mineen in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادَهُ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from his punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayat, yet there are men, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. The issue of translation is also one has to keep in mind, because annas does not mean men. Allah did not say wa min ar-rijal, Allah did not say wa min ar-dhukur, Allah said wa min an-nas. An-nas means people, so men and women, they are all included in that. So Allah says wa min an-nasi man yattakhidhu min dunillahi andada. Allah said yet there are men, meaning people, men and women, who take others besides Allah as equal. And in this, the translation, the translator, he says, who take Allah for worship as equal with Allah. Now again, the issue is, they take others as equal to Allah in terms of worship. But we have to understand that worship is not only making sujood, but worship is to obey in opposition to somebody else. So obedience is also worship. And we know this from the other ayat of the Quran and from the hadith of Uday bin Hatim radiallahu anhu, who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was wearing a cross at that time. This was before he became Muslim. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are people who take their arbabam min dunillah, they take as their rab, arbab, the plural of rab, instead of Allah, they take their priests and their monks. And he was referring to the Christians of Najran and other places. And Uday bin Hatim radiallahu anhu, at that time he was not a Muslim, and he was a Christian, so he said, Ya Rasulullah, but we do not worship our monks and priests. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the criterion of understanding what is worship. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain things haram, but your priests have made them halal? And the classic example of this is both pork and alcohol, plus of course long before that is the foundational belief in the Trinity, which itself is haram, but which they have made halal. But even if you take in terms of food habits, pork and alcohol, Isa alayhi salam never ate pork and Isa alayhi salam never drank alcohol in that sense, where and that's the same rule for the Jews, but this is what the Christians made jais. And then Uday bin Hatim said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, that's true. There are things which Allah has prohibited, but which our priests and monks have permitted. And if we remember and remind ourselves, the reason for such permissions is always, so-called logic and this and that. which we fool ourselves and we say, well, you know, times have changed and we have to change with the times. There is nothing new. All of these things have been done before. All of these things have yielded results, and people have suffered as a consequence of these kinds of logical or illogical reasoning. Today, therefore, as we know, one of the reasons why, and this is a very classic thing to think about, the logic, if there is any, behind the Christian church permitting all of these things, knowing that they are wrong, is to attract people. So many times now we hear our, in modern Dawah, we hear people saying, but you see, unless we do this, we can't attract the youth, and unless we do this and that, and then they permit what Allah has prohibited. The classic case to see what happens when you start permitting things in order to become popular is to see the, state of the churches and the cathedrals in Europe and America. They're all empty. They're being sold. So what happened? You spent centuries trying to attract people, attract worshippers. So your niyyah was good, inshallah, that you wanted to attract people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in order to attract people, this is where shaitan gives a spin. You permit sin. Now, how is this possible? I mean, you permit sin. You stop talking about haram. You stop preventing people from doing haram. You allowed interest-based banking, which was prohibited. you allowed promiscuity, which was prohibited. You allowed premarital sex, which was prohibited. You allowed all kinds of freedom or so-called freedom in clothing or lack of clothing, which was prohibited. You allowed pork, which was prohibited. You allowed homosexuality, which was prohibited. And all the logic for all of that was what? That unless we do this, we can't attract people. So, all right, so good, so do it. So, let's attract people. Now, what happened? Why is it that we are blind to the results? Where are the people? Where are the people? Now, after doing all of that, not only did you not attract people, but your churches became empty and people have become atheists. Huge population of people who used to go to church have stopped going to church, and they have become atheists. Now, if we still don't understand that trying to attract people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely oxymoronic and ridiculous and idiotic. It just shows that you have taken leave of your senses, that your head is filled with junk, I don't know what. So illogical and stupid this whole argument is, I don't know if I should laugh or I should cry. But we insist on following these things. So I warn myself and you, let's not fall into this trap. What Allah made halal is halal, what Allah made haram is haram. Nobody in the world can change that. Even if they think they can change that, they can't change that anyway. And changing it doesn't make any sense. And trying to say that we should be more, within quotes, liberal, and we should be more, open, and blah, blah, all the nonsensical arguments, meaning allow sin, meaning allow people to do whatever they want and don't criticize them and don't say anything against them. This is a completely nonsensical argument. And it does not achieve what it is supposed to achieve. It does not achieve what you think it achieves. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, people who take for worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as equal to Allah. And as I mentioned, worship is, of course, it is sujood, but worship is also to obey in opposition to somebody else. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a hukum, and we have a hukum from whoever gives us that hukum, and remember, not all ahkam are actually given as ahkam, but conditions are created. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum is aqimus salah. Time for salah comes. Your employer or yourself and so forth, nobody says don't pray. But at that time, you have this meeting. So you say, well, you know, after all, there is this meeting and I'm the only Muslim. And it will look bad if I go and pray and if I stop the meeting. And maybe it's a conference call, there's a video link. So what will happen? So I postpone my salah, and I postpone my salah to the point where now I can't pray because the time of salah has gone. So then shaitan will come and say, nah, qaza padlo, kya hota? You know, after all, why is there is qaza only for this? Whereas there is no qaza for that. There is qaza where the salah got missed despite your efforts. I mean, you wanted to pray, you made all the arrangements. For example, you wanted to pray Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah, you made all the arrangements, you set your alarm and so on and so forth, but for whatever reason, maybe the alarm didn't ring, or maybe you just slept through the alarm because you were very tired and you missed the salah. Now this is what qada is for. Then you go pray qada. Qada is not so that, you know, like I'm watching this game now, critical time, so I'm going to pray qada, or I'm shopping, so therefore I pray qada, or some meeting. This is not qada. This is an expression of arrogance of a human being, and complete demonstration of a total lack of awareness of what salah actually is. Salah is the great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us for reasons best known to himself, of allowing us into his presence, into his darbar, and we say, no, hold on, I got something better to do. I'll come. I didn't say I won't come. I'll come in my own good time. Oh, but the time for the darbar finishes. That's okay. I'll do qada. Now, this is an expression of arrogance. And we don't understand that because we don't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these are the issues where we give precedence to the ahkam or of our own nafs over the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in marriages, you know, be simple, embrace simplicity, but not good enough for us. So, we must complicate it, and we must have this rasam and that rasam, all of them being against Islam. But we say, but I have to do that. This is to worship others other than Allah. This is to love others more than Allah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yet there are people who take for worship others besides Allah as equal to Allah. They love them as they should love Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this beautiful statement of such pride for his people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among his people. Jo hamare urdu mein bolte Allah wale log hain. Allah wale kya maane hai? Ke koi ped ke niche baitha hua hai? Nahin. Allah wale yani Allah ka aadmi hai. Hum jo Hyderabad wale hain to kaun hai? Bhai hamara shahar hai, hum yahan paida hue, baap dada yahi paida hue. Hum Hyderabad wale hain. Kahin bhi chale jaye, kahin bhi ja kar rahe, taluq ka aap kahan se? Hum Hyderabad se. This is a typical thing of Hyderabad. Where are you from? I'm from Hyderabad. He may be living anywhere. He can have citizenship of any country. But you ask him, where are you from? I'm from Hyderabad. Yeah? Similarly, I think there are two in India who are like this. One is the Hyderabadis, the other one are the Malabaris, the Keralites. You ask him, where are you from? I'm from Kerala. So the thing is, you associate yourself with that which you love the most and which you take pride in the most. My culture, my country, my city, my whatever it is, right? My family. The thing that you associate with, you take pride in that. Who are you? I am from this. Even though we have many other associations, we've got many other associations. But you, when you introduce yourself relating to that association which you consider to be the most supreme, the closest to your heart, the dearest to you, the one that you think adds most value to you. I've given this example many times before. If you are a medical doctor, for example, physician, and somebody says, what do you do? Now, you don't say, I'm a driver, even though you drove your car and came. So, the one who drives the car is called a driver. I'm a driver. I'm an architect, I'm a doctor, I'm a physician. But you're also a father. Will you say, I'm a father? People say, what kind of nonsense is this? Of course, you're a father. Who's asking about? When the man said, who are you, or what do you do? Did he say, what do you do professionally for which you are getting a salary? He doesn't say, he doesn't ask all this. What do you do? I also like to cook rotis. I change my child's nappies. You do many things, but you introduce yourself by that thing which is closest and which you believe adds most honor to you, greatest honor to you. That is your primary. This is how I would like to be recognized. Who are you? I would like to recognize. I am so and so. Meaning, this is my primary occupation. This is how I would like to be recognized. This is my signature to the world. This is my face to the world. This is my persona. This is my differentiator in the marketplace. Call it what you want. That is what you introduce yourself as, even though you do many things. And the other things you do are not haram. You are not hiding them. It's not as if you are ashamed of driving a car or something like this. No, but that's a tertiary thing. You know, you don't say I'm a driver. No, I'm a physician because this is my primary profession. And this is where I believe being a physician adds honor to me. I'm doing an honorable service. So see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about his people. Allah walon ke baare mein Allah kya kehte? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but those who have faith, those who have iman, أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Shinakht hai, differentiator hai. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah did not say the people who have believed love Allah. No. Allah said the people who have believed, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love anything else. Ashaddu hubban lillah. The superlative form of shadid. Very strong. How strong is their love for Allah? It is stronger than their love for every single thing else. Everything else. Tomorrow with Allah ta'ala, if Allah gives tawfiq, we will talk about the another ayah which mentions this, and Allah listed the things. But for today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their faith is overflowing in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah said, if only the unrighteous could see and behold, they would see the penalty, they would see the azab, and they would understand that all power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strongly enforce the penalty. This is something that I have said many times before, that we live in a world today where if the penalty be invented as a philosophy for human beings to survive and stay sane, because we are living in a world which is filled with injustice and so filled with oppression, and people are helpless. People who are undergoing that oppression are completely helpless. They don't know what to do. But Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they may look helpless, but they are not helpless because they have a Rabb. Those who have no help from anywhere else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract retribution. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, extract retribution from those who are oppressing people who are helpless. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. I remind myself and you that this hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foundation of taqwa, is the concern, the one we love. Taqwa is the concern and fear of displeasing the one we love. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of displeasing Allah, who we love more than anybody else. So the more we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the higher becomes our taqwa. And taqwa becomes the foundation of al-birr. And this is where the condition comes. Where Allah says you cannot reach a stage of birr, of piety, until you sacrifice, until you give, until you invest in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which you love the most. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu demands proof. Not because Allah does not know, Allah knows. It is the job of the slave to produce his proof. And if he said, Ya Allah, I love you, this is the proof that I love you. And what is the proof that I love you? The proof that I love you is that I am willing to give precedence to you over everything else. I am willing to give precedence to your hukum over the hukum of everyone else. I am willing to give precedence to you, to what you wish, over that of everybody else. Whatever you say and what you don't want will not happen. No matter who else is pleased or displeased, including those who I am supposed to please, those who you told me to please, who are the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to be concerned about pleasing? Number one in that is our parents. But even with parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they tell you to disobey me, then disobey them. وَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran specifically. If they tell you to do something which is against the Sharia, if they tell you to do something which is disobedience of Allah, Allah said, disobey them. Who? Those people who you are supposed to obey. Now nobody else comes beyond that, so I don't have to make a list of, all the people, the wives and the husbands and the children and the bosses and so on. But obviously, this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the topmost so that the rest of it becomes unnecessary to mention. So here we are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly, the condition of the believer, the sign, the differentiator, the distinguishing feature, the persona, the signature of the believer is that he or she loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu more than he loves or she loves anyone and anything else. And that is why the slave said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said there was a man among the people of the past, and I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us such words to praise him and describe him, which will be the means of our najah on the day of judgment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this man praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in the following words, where he said, رَبِّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجْهِكَ وَعَزِيمِ سُلْطَانِكَ. The man said, and this is in Ibn Kathir, in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, in Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he said, رَبِّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجْهِكَ وَعَزِيمِ سُلْطَانِكَ. He said, O my Rabbi, لَكَ الْحَمْدُ, all praise and all thanks is to you. Rabbi lakal hamdu. How much? Kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik. How much of praise and thanks? As much as is in keeping with the majesty and grace of your glorious countenance. As much as is in majesty and keeping with the majesty of your glorious face. Wa azimi sultanik. And as much as the glory and majesty of your kingdom, which is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, Jalla Jalaluhu. All that we know and all that we don't know. Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the recording angels heard these words for the first time. They had never heard these words. So they did not know what reward to write for these words. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the slave said, and Allah knows what the slave was going to say even before the slave himself knew what he was going to say. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to establish a hujjat, in order to establish proof in favor of his slave on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked these questions. So whenever you hear this term in the hadith that Allah asked them, it doesn't mean Allah does not know. Allah knows even before they can imagine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked to establish a fact. The malaika go there and they say, Ya Zalzalali wal Ikram, your slave has mentioned you in words that we have never heard before. What reward should we write for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did he say? And the malaika, they say, Ya Rab, he said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. And what reward shall we write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, write his words as he said them. Write down his words as he said them. And I will reward him in keeping with the grace and majesty of my face and in keeping with the greatness and majesticness of my kingdom. So how much is that reward? For one sentence. How much is that reward? Who can measure the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? Who can measure the magnificence of the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case is saying both. Imagine. Just imagine. That is the reason I say when we read the Quran, when we read a hadith, take one, sit with it. Sit the whole day, go sit in a corner. Read that and bring it into your life. Reflect on it. Today we have become collectors. We get information, and we don't know what to do with it. It's just stuck in the head. And then when we behave, there is not even adab in it. Strange. I mean, people write, yesterday one guy writes a letter to me. There's this whole debate going on whether one should take money for da'wah. Whether one should take money for da'wah. The business of da'wah. And I'm of course dead against it. I mean, you do da'wah for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to make money. And the usual argument, if I don't take money, how do I eat? I'm saying this statement shows that you have zero tawakkul in your heart. And if you have zero tawakkul, you have no business doing any da'wah of Islam. You go and straighten out your heart first. Then you go get some tawakkul first. You are going to sit there and tell me I must take from Allah. And you are taking from me? I mean, this is absolutely oxymoronic nonsense. So, this debate has been going on. So, yesterday, some guy writes to me and he says, are you for real? Wet behind the ears, kid writing to me, I'm probably three times his age. He says, are you for real? If you are for real, then do this for me. As if I have to prove who I am to him to go to Jannah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. People do not even have the adab of how to speak. I want to do da'wah, so do this for me. You want to do da'wah for what? Make people oxymoronic idiots like yourself? I mean, da'wah towards what? Towards bad manner? Seriously, that's why when somebody like Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu anhu, he said that I spent 30 years, just think about this. He said, I spent 30 years acquiring adab before I started learning Islam. 30 years. I mean, these are not people who, today we don't take the name of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi for nothing. We remember the Salaf. We remember these great ulama and awliya not for nothing. They dedicated their entire lives. Today we spend 5 minutes and we think we have done a great thing. So seriously, I remind myself and you, let us create in our lives and in our hearts only one who we love more than anybody else. And who is that one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Simplify your life. We have complicated our lives. Our hearts are filled with 50 people. That's why we don't know what to do. Have one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And if you love Allah, then Allah will love you. And if Allah loves you, the whole world loves you. It's very simple. You catch hold of the foundation and the rest of it takes care of itself. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in among those people who He described as those who love Him more than anybody else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu more than anyone else. And inshallah we'll talk about what else we need to do with in respect to that. But to complete that, it means to give precedence to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above the obedience of anybody else without exception. If there is something that displeases Allah, we do not do that no matter who else it displeases or pleases. And vice versa, if there is something that pleases Allah, we do that no matter who else that displeases. As long as we do that, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who He considers to be the people who love Him. We ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to cover us with His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.